Brethren, today I want to continue in our series on the Messiah. We're at number 10 in that series. I expect by the time we finish on my outline that I have, and there are 24 messages that I'd like to bring that over the next few months we'll be continuing through the series. And just to bring you up to date, our first one in the series was just a short introduction outlining the purpose and the direction for this series. And then the second one was the prophecies of the Messiah who was to come. We can see in the Old Testament many different, very beautifully written prophecies of the Messiah, then see the fulfillment of those in the New Testament time. The third one was interesting, and it actually got quite a lot of feedback from many of you and from others too. Jesus of Nazareth was the title. We looked at understanding why it is so frequently used in the scripture with as the name, as the title, Jesus of Nazareth. And so we searched some scripture for that and then followed that up with four messages on Christ as the King, Jesus as the servant of God, to humbly bring God's grace to mankind. And then also the next one, the man who would taste death for everyone and thus bring us to God. Very beautiful fulfillment of prophecies along the way. And then part seven in our series was the Lord Jesus Christ, God with us. And we looked at those verses that show us the things he did as God with us, forgiving sin, working miracles, magnifying the law, and that he died and rose again as the Lord, our Savior. Part eight in our series was the eternal existence of the Messiah. Capstone on that was the verse where he says, "Before Abraham was, I am." And so we looked very clearly at that. It's one of those doctrines of the scripture that has been misunderstood and has been a stumbling block for even some people in recent years. But the Bible is quite clear. Before Abraham was, and God, Jesus Christ, existed. Part nine was Jesus came to reveal the Father. And we see that relationship between the Father and his only begotten Son. First time in the most beautiful way in Scripture that relationship is shown. And so we are then also invited in by God to be part of his family. And Christ, when he was raised, said that he would ascend to his Father and our Father, to his God and to our God. And we are now able to participate as children of God. Today is part 10, and the title is The Word of Life. These things that we're going through are things that all of us, who especially have been around for a long time in the church, we would know if we had a test and we put this down, and you would be able to have the answers to these. The point that we're learning is that there is so much more that we can understand about each of these things, and to understand that the Messiah is the Word of Life is so very important. The Messiah's role is the one who brings life and his words that show the way to eternal life. The title comes from 1 John chapter 1. And in this series, most of the key verses that we're using are coming from the Gospels written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And here we want to also see something that John wrote in the book of 1 John. It opens in verse 1 in this way. That which was from the beginning, and so now we're seeing some of the things we've covered already in the initial sermons on this series. He was eternally existing, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, And so we know that the disciples, now John is including himself and apparently others who were still living at the time when this was written, we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. And he begins to show us in various ways that the proof of the Messiah having been here on earth is there. They are eyewitnesses of it, which we have looked upon. And there's a reference in the scriptures about they will look upon him whom they pierced. And John was there at the time when Jesus Christ was crucified. And the women who were there, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, they looked upon him. And I think these are significant statements that he's making. He was there, he heard, he saw. And our hands have handled. You can think back of some of those times in the gospel accounts when they touched Christ, and especially after his resurrection, we have that they handled his hands, and Thomas was told to put his hand into his side. You know, and so these are significant elements of proof of him being the Messiah. And it says, concerning the word of life. And so here in John 1, 1 John 1:1, it opens with the word. And it's part of the name of Christ, as it shows in John chapter 1. And so we're going to look today at some of the inspiring passages that teach us of Jesus Christ as the word of life. If we think of him being the Word, we could spend many, many sermons and write books and read books for the rest of our lives about what that means, and it would be so full of meaning. I want to focus on the Word of life, and that he is the one who brings life. It's through him that everlasting life is given. And we'll also consider the Word that he preached, the message that God gave him, and to preach to mankind. For the words he spoke are also called words of life. We're not going to be able to cover all that he said. That's not the intent. The intent today, and I hope to make it clear to you as we go, is to focus on life being given by Jesus Christ, and that he is the life, and that the words that he spoke to us bring life. Let's look first at the Messiah being the life giver. Back to John chapter 1, in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This, the Greek word that is defined here, or the English translation of it being word, is logos. It's not just the language, the conveying of the message, but it's the messenger is more implied than the individual words. It's the full expression of revelation that God would give to mankind. The logos is a very important element of the name and the mission and the purpose of Jesus Christ. And we could spend a lot of time. I looked this week through some of the commentaries online, and the pages and pages of technical research into the Greek, looking back into the Hebrew and explaining this one word. I'm focusing today on what he does to bring life. It says in verse 4, in him was life. And I chose today, instead of bringing a technical and esoteric sermon on all the meanings of the words, to see the simplicity of it in the scripture that we can all understand and know and believe, and that makes a difference in our life. Just to believe and to know these things. In him was life. And John, 1 John 1:1 calls him the Word of life. And the life was the light of men. and something that we should see and comprehend and understand. In verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And so we see this focus, and we're going to keep coming back to this, that Jesus Christ is the Word. And in some places he's described and named as the Word of God. In other places, the Word of life. In him was life. This prologue to the book of John speaks of that living Word, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It's one of his names. We can see, just jot down Revelation 19 and verse 13. You see it as part of his name, and his name is called the Word of God. And so we're speaking of him today, the Messiah in his role. Very closely related to that is the description of the Word of life. Jesus came to give life to the world, but this concept wasn't understood at the time. We can see in John chapter 6. In John 6, and I want to read quite a lot of this chapter, beginning in verse 25. But this was the day after Jesus walked on water. If you read the beginning half of this chapter, you see he performed a great miracle. He fed many people, 5,000, with bread and fish, barley loaves. And then he sent his disciples across the water to the other side. And some of the people began to also get in boats and go. They knew that Christ hadn't gone in the boat. And then they came to the other shore the next day and they see him there. Well, he walked on the water that night and came to be with his disciples on the boat. We pick up the story in verse 25. "And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, 'Rabbi, when did you come here?' And Jesus answered them and said, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled.'" This relatively simple miracle that he had done, simple in the sense of it is physical, of feeding them bread and fish. And they had desired to see more of that and to have more to eat. It says, "Do not labor for the food which perishes." And here they had labored themselves, getting in boats and crossing the lake and coming to the other side to see what he would do the next day. "But for the food which endures to everlasting life." The food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you. And that's our focus. He's speaking of giving everlasting life. And one of the elements along the way is that spiritual food that he would bring to them and give to them. Because God the Father has set his seal on him. Verse 28, "And then they said to him, 'What shall we do that we may work the works of God?'" Now, they didn't quite get it, and their question seems like that didn't even fit very well to what he was talking about. "And Jesus answered and said to them, 'This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent.'" That's so important, to believe in him. We're going to see that at the end of the sermon, too. I'll refer back to another verse that really ties that together with the rest of the message today. To believe in him whom he sent. Verse 30, "Therefore they said to him, 'What sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as is written, and he gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" And again, their focus was back on eating, on physical food to fill their tummies. Just in this case, as the Israelites had had manna to eat, and God fed them those 40 years. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven." That didn't come through Moses, but it was through God. "But my Father gives you the true bread from heaven." He's speaking of spiritual food. And look what he discusses as he goes further about this in verse 33. "For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." He is the word of life. And he goes on describing himself and his work in this way. And then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. The word is the bread of life. He is also, as it says in 1 John 1, the word of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. See, the things that you and I can see and read and understand now, because we have these words written, preserved for us, opened to us by the Spirit of God so that we can understand what is here. He's speaking about his own role in our salvation. "But I've said to you that you have seen me and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out." Let's drop down to verse 47. "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life." He came to give life, and he's speaking here of that life that comes through spiritual food that he gives. "I am the bread of life." If we see the Messiah as the life giver, will help us to understand his role in our own lives now and in our future life to come. Let's continue through verse 51. "Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die." He's speaking on a spiritual level here. "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." You and I begin to see then the connection to Passover, don't we? When he explained these things more fully. And we can pick it up in verse 54 and follow it right through. "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. In him was life," it said, "and the life was the light of men." He's enlightening us. He's telling us now what these things mean. People didn't understand because they were focused on the physical things, but now we are able to see and focus on those things which are spiritual. He says, "And I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." And so there's this connection that we are so close, we abide in him, and he in us, and there's a very, very close spiritual relationship. "As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me." Brother, we're talking about him, himself, more than the words he spoke, but him, the Son of God, him himself. In verse 58, "This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever." He's the one who brings that life to us. And now we understand this is referring to most directly in his teaching to the bread and wine of Passover, to coming into the covenant relationship with him. And that's what that is about. Look briefly, and we'll cover these things probably more than once between now and Passover. In Matthew 26, just touching on these, just opening the scriptures so that we can see that they are concerning the word of life. In Matthew 26, verse 26, this is on Passover evening, it says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.'" The symbolism is there so powerfully for us, is that bread of life through which life is given to us. Verse 27 and 8. "Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" And so it is a covenant relationship that is being given to us and through which life is given to us as well. So we partake of that bread and that wine. And the symbolism of it then is not just for that night, but for the rest of the days of the year and of our lives. And so as Passover approaches, we'll learn more fully about how Christ brings eternal life to us. But for today's message, to anchor it in the concepts of Christ being the Word of God, there are two verses I'd like to read in 1 Corinthians 15. It's a chapter about the resurrection, a chapter about the love of God to bring us to eternal life. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 45, and I want to read from the New Living Translation. It's a little better worded, I believe. And it says this, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45. "The scripture tells us the first man, Adam, became a living person, but the last Adam, that is Christ, is a life-giving spirit. He is the word of life." He is a life-giving spirit. He is God who came to be with us, who gives us life. In verse 22, here in the same chapter, it says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." To see him, when we think of the Messiah, to understand this part of his purpose is that he came to give life to all men. And he reverses the inevitable pattern of being a physical person, born through Adam and Eve, subject to death. He now gives us the blessing of being born in a spiritual sense. "As in Christ, all shall be made alive." The truth of our eternal life being in the Son of God is expounded and supported elsewhere in the scriptures. And as we go through this annual cycle of holy days this year, we'll see this theme develop. It's expounded in beautiful detail all through the Bible. But to summarize this first main point, Christ himself, the person, is the word of life. And to have life, we must have him. Now, as a transition, we can see that there's also a connection to the words that he brought from the Father, the words of God to the gospel, to the truth, the message that God the Father gave to him to speak, which are called the words of life. In 1 John 5 and verse 20, says, "And this we know, that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding." And so now we look at the understanding that he's given to us, that we may know him who is true. We know him through the words that Jesus Christ preached, that he gave to us. We know him who is true, and that we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. To know God, to know his Son, to be with him and in them, as it says in the scripture. So now let's consider this aspect of Jesus' life and mission, the words that were given to him, the message of life. In John 1, in verse 4, we've read this already, just to come back to that, and now connecting it with the spoken words, the message. In John 1, verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. There's something to be comprehended. Verse 5, and the light shines in the darkness. We see his example. We saw what he did. We see it in the scriptures, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There's something to be comprehended, to be understood, to become part of our own knowledge, to have his words written in our minds and on our hearts and believed. In verse 12, I wanted to come back to this about believing. But as many as received him, receiving him, the person who came to be our Savior, receiving him, the Son of God, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. And in this believing is through his word, to believe what he said, to believe what he did, to receive and to believe in his name. In John 6, in verse 63, John actually speaks of these things many times, more than we could work into a sermon message, but some are very beautifully written. In John 6, verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life. And that's what we're looking at today, the life that comes through that life-giving Spirit who is Jesus Christ. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak, Jesus speaking here to us, the words that I speak to you are Spirit, and they are life. And these are the words that we can live by. This Greek word is not logos, it's a different word. It means, it's the Greek word is rhema, R-H-E-M-A. And it can be defined as the individual words or the collection of his teachings or the topics. You take one parable at a time or one topic at a time. That is the word, the rhema, the narration, the story of his ministry and what he did, or the sayings of him throughout his ministry. It's the message. It's the gospel that he came to preach, the truth that he said, your word is truth, the word of life. And so we look at the written word, which was spoken and now recorded for us, the message itself that he spoke and taught, the revealed will of God, the words that he was given by the Father to preach. And there's quite a number of verses as Christ saying, the words are not my own, but they are the Father's who sent me. In Vine's expository dictionary, it says the message from our Lord delivered with his authority and made effective by his power. In John 6 and verse 68, just a few verses below, then Simon Peter answered, and there's a discourse going on. Christ wondered if they would actually leave him too. And then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, the message that they needed, that we need to give us life. We see and we think about the Messiah being the word of life and bringing the words of life as well. John wrote extensively of this. just look at a couple examples back in John chapter 5, verse 24. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. We must believe his words and in him who sent him to have everlasting life. And Christ is that living word of God. And this word that he gives is the word of life. We believe it and we live it. And we are grateful to have it. We believe in him who sent him has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. So he's taking us into that spiritual realm of eternal life. This is the mission of the Messiah. This is why he came. This is what he gives to us and how he gives it. And we are so grateful and blessed to be able to see this. In chapter 12 of John, in verse 49 and 50, he says, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." And several times we see this, that everlasting life comes to us through the Messiah, through the words that God gave to him, the word of life. And then, at the end of his ministry, in his prayer to his Father, in chapter 17 of John, again speaking, focusing on life, eternal life, he says in verse 3, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." And we get to know God through his word, and Jesus Christ through the word that he brought to us. And that is eternal life, to know and be known by God, to know and be known by Christ. The first message we heard said, the verse where it said, "I never knew you." But Christ is saying, he does know us. We who practice righteousness. He wants us to know him and be known by him. This is eternal life. To receive and to believe the word of life. In verse 8, he says, "For I have given to them your words, which you have given to me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you." That's what we believe too. That's what drives our faith. That is what helps us to look forward with full assurance of faith to the resurrection to come and to eternal life. It says, "And they have believed that you sent me." These are so critical, these truths that are open to us, to believe that the Father sent him. He sent the word to bring to us life. And brethren, this is the word, the gospel, the message that is still being preached by God's church and is still just as powerfully as ever it was in the time of Jesus himself, still the word of life. You see just a brief example in Acts chapter 13, when for the first time the gospel was being preached directly to Gentiles who were being called by God. And we see that this was so important then. It's the same words that we have now, the same words of life. In Acts 13, verse 46, "Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, to the Jews who they had been preaching to. But since you rejected and judge yourselves unworthy of what? Unworthy of everlasting life. behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have set you to be a light to the Gentiles. He came as the life of man and was the light. I set you as a light to the Gentiles, something to be comprehended, something to be understood, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Now, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many of as had been appointed to eternal life believed. They too have eternal life through the same word, through believing, through receiving that same word, Jesus Christ himself and the spoken and written word. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. And we now, in our lifetime, are still receiving that same word of the Lord that was spreading then and is still spreading now to all the world. Brethren, we began today reading in 1 John 1:1 about the word of life. But Scripture shows us that the word of life is Jesus Christ himself, the man, the king, the servant, the Lord, the person, the one who was born and who died for us. The word of life is also the words that he spoke, the message he brought from the Father. And to understand the Messiah, we need both elements of this. Life is one of the main topics of this book called the Bible. In the book of 1 John, it's mentioned several times. I want to close with some verses in chapter 5 of 1 John. 1 John 5:11 and 12. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. It's a very clear statement there. God has given us eternal life. This life is in his Son. And look at verse 13. And I find this so encouraging because after all is said and done, and we're all going to come to the point in our life when we say, do I know for sure that this applies to me, that I have this blessing too? Look what it says in verse 13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. And I mentioned earlier that we could have a test and you would answer these questions and you would know and believe because you do believe. You see what he's saying? He's saying, there's so much encouragement here. To you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. What a great encouragement that we have. Brethren, these things come to us through our Messiah, who is the Word of Life. This Sabbath, our focus was on the Word. The next time that I bring a message in this series, our focus will be on the works of Jesus Christ. They go together, and there are verses that put them together, and Christ spoke of those. You've heard my words. You've seen my works. Those works are witness of his messiahship, of his being the one who would come and bring this life we've been talking about. We need to see the works too. And we'll be looking at those very closely in the next time that we have time to be together and to talk about the Messiah. Brethren, I hope that the rest of the Sabbath day is very good for you. I hope that you all stay well. I hope that we can all prepare for things coming up in the next few weeks, leading us up to the time of Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread. Meanwhile, each day, let's do something to help other people. Let's do something to make life good for them. And I just refer you back to the example that's in the bulletin. One of our ladies in an isolated area, all alone, is still doing things to help other people. We have opportunity to serve too. So let's be about our Father's business.